You think, there's no way I'll make that mistake again. And when it doesn't show up for a few days, a week, or even a month, it gives you a false sense of confidence. But eventually the mistake happens again, and your emotional reaction is even stronger this time. This chapter is your way out of that cycle of chaos. You'll dive a bit more into how your brain works and how it can trip you up so that you can avoid the problems it might be causing. You'll learn how to correct your problems in real time, as well as how to build your strategies into a daily habit, since repetition is the biggest factor in reaching resolution. Finally, you'll understand how to evaluate your progress and avoid common reasons progress can get derailed. Let's start by looking at a few key ways your mind might be hijacking your good intentions. Malfunctioning mind. We could spend years talking about the intricacies of the human brain. Untold number of books and papers have been written to decipher how it works, and that research will continue. But all you really need to know are a few key principles. The brain is organized in a hierarchy. The first level is where all the most important functions of the brain are stored, such as heart rate, breathing, balance, and sleep and wake cycles. Skills you have mastered, like riding a bike or inputting an order, are also there. The second level of the brain is the emotional system, and the third is the mental level, containing all of the higher brain functions such as thinking, planning, self-awareness, organization, and emotional control. But the hierarchy has a catch, and it's a big one. When the emotional system becomes overactive, it shuts down higher brain functions. This is why you make poor decisions when your emotions run too high. The brain prevents you from being able to process information correctly. When emotions are overactive, the loss of higher brain functions is something that no one can control. Both positive and negative emotions can cause this breakdown in mental functioning. For example, you learned in Chapter 7 that while having confidence is important to performance, too much of it can be a problem. When you're overconfident, the excessive amount of emotion flooding your mind compromises your decision-making. This could lead you to overlook some factors or overestimate the accuracy of your opinion, and that alters your evaluation of risk. Regardless of the emotion, the following can also happen. When emotions are at their highest level, shock, euphoria, blind rage, your mind goes completely blank and you stop thinking altogether. Your mind moves so fast that you miss key pieces of data, so your decision-making process is incomplete. You overweight the importance of some factors and fail to consider relevant ones. You know the right answer, but can't access it, as if your head is in a fog. You fall back into bad habits that you're surprised to find out you're still doing. You're aware that what you're doing is wrong, but you can't stop yourself. It's like you're compelled to trade bigger and take excessive risks. Your focus narrows, and you tunnel into one of your indicators and ignore others that you typically use. You've identified a juicy trade, but can't execute it. Take a minute to let the way that overactive emotions shut down your higher brain functions sink in. If your strategy doesn't take this into account, you have very little chance, aside from pure luck, of fixing anything. There's even a scientific principle that describes the relationship between emotion and performance. The Yerkes-Dodson law states that your performance improves as your emotions rise, but only to a certain point. As this law defines it, your threshold is the tipping point on the right side of the curve, where emotions start to become overpowering. At this point, performance declines because the emotional system begins to shut down higher brain functions, like thinking, decision-making, and emotional control. When that happens, you lose access to the knowledge and skills you're currently learning in proportion to the intensity of the emotion. The further you pass your emotional threshold, the more knowledge you lose. Things that are brand new are the first to go. Skills that are much better known and close to being mastered are the last to disappear. You know your emotion has crossed your threshold and become overactive when it's begun to impair your thoughts, actions, perspective, and decision-making process. Of course, everyone's threshold is different. It's a very personal metric. Keep an eye out for when your biases start to pop up more, your decision-making ability starts to change, and your access to certain information starts to shrink. On the left side of the curve, the opposite happens. When you don't have enough energy or emotion to think, as occurs when you're tired, bored, burned out, or lacking discipline, you need to build up enough emotion to kick the thinking part of the brain into gear. Emotion is essential for performance. Problems only start when there's too much or too little. The mental game strategy outlined in this chapter is designed to keep your emotional level at the top of the curve, so your performance can be at its highest level more often. On the surface, this concept may seem simple, but it has massive implications for how you address emotional problems. While you can't control the fact that the emotional system has the power to shut down your ability to think, you're not powerless. You just have to work within this limitation. You must start trying to control your emotions before they have gone too far past your emotional threshold. Timing matters a lot. If you don't catch the rise of emotion early and it becomes too intense, you'll be in for an uphill battle for control. The prefrontal cortex is the area of the brain responsible for emotional control, which is one of the higher brain functions weakened as emotions rise. At the exact moment when you most need this part of your brain, it can't respond as well because of that emotional intensity. Simply put, emotion has the power to weaken your ability to control it. And the further your emotions rise past your threshold, the lower the odds that you'll be able to regain control. Too often, traders begin trying to control their emotions after their ability to think has weakened. That's like bringing a water pistol to a gunfight. Whether the loss of higher brain functions is caused by overconfidence, anger, or fear, the consequences are significant for traders. You rely on higher brain functions to make money. This is some of the most valuable territory in the brain. This is where you think and weigh information from multiple sources, such as prior knowledge, experience, actions, and of course, real-time market data. Understanding how your brain can malfunction gives you another tool that takes you closer to achieving resolution. Now let's get into a real-time strategy that brings the battle for progress to the front lines. Real-time strategy. So how do you resolve a mental game problem? You must get to the point where you can correct your reaction as it happens. Once you've learned to recognize when your performance flaws have been triggered, that's your cue to fight back with a correction that in real time quickly gives you greater mental and emotional control. What makes this system powerful is that when you use the correction in real time, you also gain repetitions needed to eventually reach resolution. Two benefits from one action. Correcting your reaction is a combination of having the right logic and ensuring that logic is so clearly defined in your mind that it's strong enough to stop the pattern in its tracks. From your work in chapters 4-8, mapping your pattern and using the mental hand history, you've identified the correction. Now it's time to use it. To do that, you use a 4-step process that I'll explain below. The amount of detail needed for the explanation might seem overwhelming, but once you get the hang of it, you'll find that you can complete this process in a matter of seconds. Learning to correct your reaction is where a lot of the hard work in this system lies. First you find the flaw, then you come up with a correction. But to truly change flaws, biases, wishes, and illusions, you must repeat the correction over and over and over again. You become like professional athletes who spend dedicated and focused time to hone their technique so it's strong enough to compete. Here you're learning a technique for the mind. In this way, you're mastering the correction so that it upgrades and permanently corrects the flaw. Once permanently corrected, you've reached resolution. The old way of reacting is disabled, and you automatically have the presence of mind needed to trade at your highest level. I liken this process to chopping down a tree. You may want a chainsaw, but you get an axe. For some of you, the tree is large, you're weak, and the axe has a blunt edge. Over time, as you work the process, you get stronger and learn how to sharpen your axe. Just like becoming a skilled trader, you have to put in a lot of work. There's no other way. Step 1. Recognizing a problem has been triggered. This is where mapping your pattern really helps. As I said at the outset of Chapter 2, you can't stop or correct a problem that you can't see. Now's the chance to use the map of your pattern to identify the signals a problem has been triggered. Eventually, you want to get to the point where your map is internalized, so you can easily recall it under intense emotional situations. Until that point, keep it nearby so you can quickly reference it. Once you recognize a signal, that's your cue to move on to step 2. Step 2, disrupting momentum. Newton's first law of motion tells us that an object in motion stays in motion until acted upon by an outside force. Your pattern is like an object in motion. There's an unmistakable momentum to your emotional reactions as they barrel towards the same terrible conclusion, unless you become the force to challenge it. The best way to do that is to disrupt the momentum of the pattern as soon as you recognize it. The primary purpose of disruption is to create separation between the reaction and the correction, which increases the odds of the correction having an impact. As soon as you recognize your pattern has been triggered, use one of the following 4 methods of disruption. Take a deep breath. This is not some esoteric kumbaya kind of thing. A singular deep breath can produce a distinct effect while being simple enough that you don't have to step away from your desk. Take a deep breath that fills your stomach, not your chest. This is called diaphragmatic breathing, and it cues your body to relax. Google it. Also, focus intently on your breath. The strength of your focus is a large part of where the disruptive power comes from. If this is new to you, take some time to train yourself in the process. Several times a day or once an hour, imagine that some emotion you're struggling with was triggered. Practice taking one diaphragmatic breath while strengthening your focus on your breath. Over time, you'll notice a distinct improvement in the strength that breath has to stop the problem in its tracks. Write. Take a few moments to write down your thoughts, emotions, or whatever is on your mind in that moment. You can type or handwrite your notes. It's a personal preference, so do whatever works for you. Stand up or take a walk. In heated moments, traders often naturally stand up from their desk or take a short walk to make sense of what's happening. You may also try combining this by going for a walk and then writing down your thoughts when you get back. Talk. Some traders prefer to vent to a colleague in their office, in an online forum, or to other trading friends. You already do these things instinctively. The idea is to turn them into deliberate techniques and strengthen their effectiveness. If you find there's one you already do, it makes sense to start there. You can also use a combination when the reaction is more severe. For example, a deep breath only works when the emotional intensity is low, so write and then stand up to disrupt the pattern when the intensity is higher. Traders who only make a few trades per week have the luxury of having time to disrupt their pattern. The risk of missing out on a profitable trade is low. However, it's clearly suboptimal to have extended or recurring periods where you're more focused on managing your emotions in this way. Over time, the goal is to shrink the amount of time you're away from your desk. On the other hand, traders who make several trades per hour must develop a quick process to disrupt their pattern. Their goal is speed, and that often requires spending extra time to train the process to the point where you can easily apply one of the four options above. Step 3, injecting logic. Injecting logic is the real-time antidote for the emotions causing errors in your execution. Leveraged in the right way, it's one of the strongest tools you have to reach resolution. Injecting logic builds on what people tend to naturally do when facing a mental game problem, talk themselves through it, and turns it into a technique that can be trained. Thinking is your primary tool to fight against your pattern, and the benefit of what psychologists call self-talk has been well established in performance research. The key is to apply it when emotions are still small and to use logic that you have trained. The goal is to craft a bite-sized statement or phrase that you have written out, rehearsed, and reviewed prior to each trading session. This makes it strong enough in your mind to have an immediate impact on your emotional state, prevent secondary emotion, and work towards a lasting correction to your underlying flaw. Here are a few examples. FOMO. The market is a constant stream of opportunities. I will not capture all of them. Fear of failure. Sometimes the risk from staying on the sidelines is the greater risk. Hating to lose. I'll win some and I'll lose some. Losses are inevitable. But as long as I control my emotions when losses occur and continue trading within my strategy, I will profit over the long term. Mistake tilt. Hating mistakes is like hating to learn. If I actually learn from it, the money lost is an investment in developing a bigger edge. Injustice tilt. I get good luck too. Look for it and stick to my strategy. That's how I make money long term. Lacking confidence. I spent 1,000 hours on this plan. Am I really going to let one trade change it? Overconfidence. My head is in the clouds. Fantasizing about what I want to make from the trade doesn't mean that's what I'm going to make. Do your job. Boredom. If I go looking for action, for the sake of action, that makes me a gambler, not a trader. Focus. Trading is a job. Run it like a serious business that demands my best. When the session is over, I can focus on other things. Not now. For your logic statement to be effective, it must be potent. It must represent what you have uncovered in the mental hand history and accurately address both the underlying flaw and your understanding of why it's flawed. When you have the right logic, it has a noticeable effect in reducing your emotions in the moment. Early in the process, the decrease in emotion will be small but distinct. Eventually, you'll reach a point where the logic is so potent that you immediately feel a significant change. To figure out the correct logic to inject, take what you wrote in steps 2 through 5 of the mental hand history to craft your statement or phrase. At the start, it's okay for it to be based on negative language such as, you can't be perfect, and expecting to be is a recipe for pain. Positive language can sometimes lack potency. Don't get hung up on the idea that negative thinking is bad. Also, don't get hung up on trying to craft the perfect statement right away. Just try something out and give it a few days to see if it has any impact on your emotional state. The standard of improvement is to suck less. Remember, you don't get a chainsaw. Start wielding that axe and get some feedback. Early in the process, to some degree, it doesn't matter what you say, which means you're at risk for a placebo effect. Sometimes just saying something reasonable can stop your pattern. This is fine at the start, but remember that managing a problem isn't the same as resolving it. Take, for instance, not closing out a losing position because you hope it will come back. You know it's wrong to hope a position will come back, so you say, hope isn't a strategy, close it and move on to the next one. While that's reasonable and gets you to close out the position, you're not addressing why you were so reluctant to close it. The same could be said for any of the logic examples above. If your emotions continue to reoccur and cause the same problems without any signs of progress, you haven't gone deep enough. Injecting logic becomes no different than any of the other strategies designed to temporarily control emotions, such as denial, avoidance, distraction, or desensitization. Don't make this mistake. Dig deeper into your problem. Reevaluate what you wrote in the mental hand history and devise a new injecting logic statement. If you have the right logic and use it at the right time, it will have an effect. Leverage this tool. And remember, one of the major benefits of injecting logic is that it simultaneously has an effect on the current emotion, as well as moves you closer to resolution by upgrading the faulty logic, biases, and illusions. But the latter takes time. You must repeat the process again and again and again, like the tree you're chopping down. Regardless of what logic you settle on, train it. This is how you create logic that's strong enough to cut through and decrease fear, greed, or a loss of confidence in real time. Spend time outside of trading hours to review your mental hand history and your logic statement. Commit them to memory. Test yourself. When you practice your deep breathing, pair it with your logic statement so the two steps become tightly linked. Memorize not just the actual words of your logic statement, but the intent. You should be so fluent in this logic that you can recite it in any situation under intense stress. The stronger the logic becomes in your mind, the more potent the injection. Sometimes the correct logic is simply an idea you already know well but haven't trained or applied in the right way. When emotions have caused your mind to malfunction, those ideas are gone. They're either too weak to be remembered or don't have the desired impact on your emotional state. Here are some ideas for how best to use your injecting logic statement. 1. Use your own language. The statement or phrase needs to reflect the way you actually talk and think. Make sure you use logic that truly fits. The perfect statement is the one that does the job for you, not the one that sounds best or works for others. 2. Take an expanded view. Some clients like to write an entire paragraph that expands on the themes and ideas surrounding the correction and flaw. Then at the start of each trading day, they review the paragraph and pull out a line, phrase, or word to inject that day. For them, potency comes from having an expanded or deeper view of the problem and correction. 3. Write down your phrase or statement. Put it on a note card, sticky note, Word document, cell phone, or whatever you find most convenient. This way you don't have to dig it out of your memory at a time when your mind is malfunctioning. 4. Adjust if you need an auditory or multimedia approach. Consider making a voice recording of your statement, or pair it with a picture, song, or movie clip. 5. Review the logic hourly. If you have difficulty avoiding severe mistakes, consider preemptively reviewing your logic every hour, half hour, or on a schedule with some regular frequency. This way you'll be more likely to catch the emotion, prevent significant buildup, gain control more quickly, and minimize the damage. 6. Avoid these common mistakes. If injecting logic doesn't work, usually it's because you began using it after your emotions were already too strong and had crossed your emotional threshold. At this point, it's too hard to think clearly. Injecting logic is really just thinking. Therefore, if your emotions have weakened your ability to think, trying to inject logic is like attempting to run on a sprained or broken ankle. You must start injecting logic when your emotions are small. That may require you to revisit your pattern and look for earlier signals to map. Your statement wasn't tailored enough to the performance flaw. Go back to the mental hand history and work through steps 2 and 3 again. There's more you need to understand about the underlying cause in order to create a potent statement. Accumulated emotion instantly flooded your mind and you didn't even have a chance to use it. Something new threw you off. Either your existing problem changed and you didn't recognize it was triggered, or you're dealing with a new problem entirely. You need to study it more. The logic is not strong enough yet. Finally, make sure to hone your ability to know when to use injecting logic. Become skilled at identifying the key moments when you need to disrupt the pattern so that instead of acting on emotion, you're actively fighting to correct it. Inject logic when emotions have been triggered, and you have to fight to maintain the right perspective. For example, when you're taking heavy or consecutive losses, missing opportunities, or likely to move your profit target. All the work you're doing to make the logic strong is for these moments, so you can increase the odds that you can correct your reaction and prevent mistakes. Early on, you're going to fail when tilt, fear, or greed shut down higher brain functions. The key is working to lengthen the time it takes to fail and to minimize the execution errors when you do. As you gain more experience and repetition, the stronger your logic becomes, and it remains in use at times it previously would have failed. Momentum is in your favor. Whereas previously emotions got the better of you because you didn't know enough to avoid them, now that only happens when trying to apply the correction in new or challenging situations. Step 4. Use a strategic reminder. Up to this point, the strategy is focused on correcting your emotional reactions so that you're less likely to make a mistake. But greater emotional stability doesn't guarantee that. As soon as the malfunctioning mind is in play, strategic and technical aspects of your trading also disappear from your mind, potentially leading you to trade outside of your plan or strategy. A strategic reminder can protect your decision-making process and increase the odds of improved execution. Giving yourself a simple reminder can go a long way towards improving real-time execution as well as training the weaker aspects of your decision-making process. When mapping your pattern, you already identified the ways that your decision-making process gets altered. Flag the type of errors you typically make, the factors that you ignore, and the changes to your perspective on the market or price. Now use this information to protect yourself at a time when the risk of making a mistake is high. To create your strategic reminder, think about what happens when emotions are present and select one of the following options. Write it down and keep it with your injecting logic statement. You have several options. Option 1. Write down your most common mistakes. Keeping a list of these mistakes handy reminds you of what to avoid. This goes back to the power that recognition can have in the short term to create some immediate improvement. For some traders, the corrections to these mistakes are obvious, but they don't realize it until after they make them. Option 2. Write down your entire decision-making process. While some traders see this as tedious, others like having all of this detail. They embrace the opportunity to articulate their entire decision-making process and ensure they're training like an athlete and perfecting their technique. Option 3. Write down only the technical factors or data you fail to consider. If you think option 2 is too tedious, here's the shortcut. Rather than reminding yourself of your entire decision-making process, focus only on what goes missing and force yourself to consider it. The aim is to establish higher levels of execution and decision-making. That requires a 1-2 combo of injecting logic for the mental and emotional side and using a strategic reminder for the technical and strategic side. Adding a strategic reminder is different than the emotional and mental work that is the main focus of this book, but it directly fits into the system because it's a critical piece that can minimize mistakes. Some of you, like the scalpers out there, don't have time to use a strategic reminder. That doesn't mean you can't benefit from the exercise of nailing one down, even if you can't use it in real time. Instead, it can be a helpful tool that you have as part of your pre-market routine, reinforcing the key elements of quality execution that you're trying to make when your emotions pop up. To recap, the complete real-time strategy is 1. Recognize that your pattern has been triggered. 2. Disrupt the momentum of that pattern. 3. Use injecting logic to correct the flaw. 4. use a strategic reminder to improve your execution. Again, with practice, these four steps can be completed in seconds. As you get better and better at recognizing and disrupting your pattern and injecting these corrections, your ability to recover will change from hours or days to seconds and minutes. Like any other skill, it may feel clunky at the beginning, but you will eventually get smoother and faster. Rinse and repeat. Until the problem is resolved, it's going to keep coming back like a fly that won't leave you alone. Be prepared to go through the four steps again and again. On some days, you'll need to repeat these steps more than on other days. No 2 days in trading are exactly the same. As you go deeper into the day and become mentally fatigued, it often becomes more difficult for you to use this strategy correctly and adjust your reaction. It's easy to think that you would build in your success earlier in the day, but that doesn't always happen. Building the mental strength to control and correct your emotional reactions is a lot like weightlifting. Start with the amount of weight that you can lift and steadily increase it. Rather than just expecting yourself to continue trading at a time when you typically would quit, push yourself to avoid a big mistake for just 5 or 10 more minutes. Then as you get mentally stronger, add another 5 to 10 minutes. Sure, 5 to 10 minutes can seem insignificant, but so too with the amount of weight you'd be able to lift on your first trip to the gym. Start small, and then push yourself to maintain control longer and longer. Eventually, the severity of the patterning that's triggered will decrease in intensity, an indication that you're moving towards resolution, and you'll be able to avoid severe reactions for hours, even during some very difficult times. Use quitting as a short-term strategy. As long as you have a clear plan to resolve your mental game problems, quitting can be a viable short-term strategy while you work towards resolution. There isn't a hard or fast rule to determine when the best time is to quit. Sometimes you need to push yourself, while other times you need to quit to avoid a big step back, mentally or emotionally. Part of this skill is knowing when a mental game issue is too severe to carry on, and you need to take a break or quit. Of course, sometimes you don't know the limits of your capacity until you hit a brick wall. My advice is to err on the side of caution in the short term. By following the system laid out in this book, your capacity will increase over time, provided that you don't continually push yourself too far beyond the point of failure. Like someone in physical therapy rehabbing an injury, if you overdo it, you risk getting re-injured. Build a productive routine. Once you have identified the problem to resolve, you need to work the problem with a consistent routine and rigorous focus. When you have a routine that prepares you properly, you're more likely to execute well and make improvements. On the other hand, if you fail, you're more likely to understand why and to learn from it, which ultimately leads to progress in the future. Essentially, you create a cycle of improvement that allows you to make the most of each trading session. Take time for a warm-up. The value of a warm-up is widely understood within sports and most areas of performance. While the idea of warming up before playing poker was surprisingly novel when I first entered the poker world, that's not the case in trading. What may be novel, however, is the idea of a warm-up or pre-market routine being used not only to put you in the right state of mind for trading, but to better prepare you to correct the range of problems you're likely to face. In practical terms, this means your warm-up should include reviewing the maps you have created for each problem area. This increases the likelihood that you spot the real-time signals of a problem. You should also reread the mental hand history and injecting logic statements to strengthen your understanding of the cause and correction of the problems that you'll face. You might think back to a few recent scenarios that were troublesome. Envision yourself going through the process of seeing the signals of the problem, taking a deep breath or standing up, and then using injecting logic and a strategic reminder. Basically, you're mentally rehearsing the actions that you'll take to control or correct your problems. If all your materials are already prepared, the whole process takes 3 to 5 minutes. Be sure to focus intently and bring a sense of priority. Never just go through the motions. Take time for a cool down. Just like the warm-up is an implicit part of most performance arenas, especially for athletes, cooling down is as well. For athletes, it tends to be more focused on physical recovery, like getting treatment, icing down muscles, etc., to help the body heal and recover. The cool down is essentially preparation to be able to do it all again tomorrow. As a trader, your cool down may include logging trades into your journal, analyzing them, and checking P&L. But you also need to focus on recovery from a mental and emotional standpoint. For example, add details to your map, write and vent about your emotions to prevent accumulation, and analyze your progress. Your mind has captured so much data, including the emotions, thoughts, and actions that surround each problem. If you're diligent about capturing those details and working through them, you'll find that the 5 to 15 minutes you spend will be incredibly valuable the following day. Since this time is so valuable, here are a few suggestions for adjustments you can make to your cool down, depending on the type of day you had. On a day where your emotions stay relatively stable, where problems may have popped up but you handled them with relative ease, it's unlikely that there will be many new things to note. Instead, reinforce your progress by thinking or writing about what improved. Don't just focus on the negatives. Emphasize instances where your attempts to correct anger, for example, were successful, especially if it took a lot of mental effort. On a day when emotions are high, vent your emotions by writing them down, and then either reread an existing mental hand history on this topic or complete a new one. This will help you to prevent accumulated emotions and reinforce the correction. You don't need to start immediately after the trading day is over, but I strongly recommend you start within 30 minutes, while the ideas are fresh in your mind and the emotion is raw. That's the good stuff. Not only do you not want to lose those critical details, but this is also a prime opportunity to generate new insights. On a day when emotions are super high, you probably want to just go blow off steam, wallow in self-pity, or enjoy the rush of a euphoric day. One of the last things you want to do is sit down and write. But your goals are recovery and getting in good shape for the next day. The best thing you can do is dump as many thoughts down as you can. In part, because when your problems are the biggest, you get a better glimpse into the root of the problem. You don't have to do a mental hand history, just be a detective and grab the data. If you just rush off, you might lose details that could be critical to solving the problem. Take time to work the problem. You can't show up right before a trading session and map your pattern, complete a mental hand history, define injecting logic statements, or finish an A to C game analysis. Before a session, you only have time to review or revise existing material, not generate them from scratch. To work efficiently towards resolution, these are tools that need to be worked on at the times when you'd normally be doing research, learning new concepts, or other things to improve your trading. I realize that I'm adding more responsibilities, and there's only so much time in the day. Perhaps now that you're working aggressively on your mental game, you'll prioritize this work. Then as the materials are created, and you have a strong overall strategy, you can reduce the time spent to an amount that you can consistently maintain. In general, you want to be sure you continually work the problems, even if that just means reviewing or updating existing materials. Evaluate progress. If you want to reach resolution as efficiently as possible, you need to know whether you're making progress or not. That's not so simple, because of both the unpredictable nature of trading and the complexities of evaluating your own mental and emotional state. A common mistake I see traders make is relying on emotions as the measuring stick for progress. Even when you're making progress, you may not feel the difference emotionally. For example, you might feel just as fearful entering a trade today as you did several months ago. But if you look closely, you notice that your thoughts are less pessimistic, you hesitate less, and you no longer open a one-minute chart with your eyes glued to every tick. Those indications of progress aren't evident from your emotions. You have to look at changes to other signals on your map. Identifying whether or not you've made progress is critical. You could incorrectly think nothing has improved, when it has, and lose confidence or motivation in a strategy that's actually working. Or if you aren't improving, you need to know this, so you can figure out what's not working. The following are some general indications your mental game is improving. Are you increasingly able to recognize your pattern, including being able to spot signals before you reach your threshold? While you may not have established the ability to control or correct your emotions in real time yet, you're better at seeing what's happening. While this may seem insignificant, increased recognition is a critical first step. The remainder of the real-time strategy doesn't work without it. The next big marker of progress is being able to control or correct your emotions. Look for those moments when greed, tilt, or fear is about to cause a mistake, but you catch yourself and use injecting logic. It's not so much that you don't react, as you don't let the reaction carry you away in the manner it used to. That, in turn, reduces your emotions and improves your decision-making and execution. While you may have to battle for that progress, you win the battle more often. At first, your mental and emotional state may improve by only a fraction of a percent. that's still something to build on, because you're simultaneously training the long-term solution. Over time, the correction becomes more potent, cutting through the emotional reaction faster, so you can minimize the damage and recover more quickly. You also don't need to take bigger chunks of time off during the trading day. Eventually, you will clearly have less emotion to battle, and you'll see that resolution has begun. Resolution isn't a light switch, especially with intense emotions. Think of it more like a volume knob that you dial down. For example, you still feel that immediate reflex of greed or the impulse to revenge trade, but apples to apples, it's 10% less intense. As progress continues and you resolve more of the problem, you automatically generate less and less emotion. That means your emotions are naturally more stable, and whatever fear, anger, or overconfidence remains is much easier to chop through. Eventually, the triggers no longer produce emotion and the problem is resolved. The biggest problem in recognizing resolution is that you won't know when you've crossed the finish line. It's not like running a race where the end is marked, but there are clues that indicate you've arrived. Here are some signals of resolution. You remain competent, even under pressure or extreme fatigue. To see how far you've come, compare your current worst to your prior worst, and see how much your decision-making process has improved. In your B game, the impulse to make mistakes caused by emotion disappears. There's less interference or noise in your B game. It feels qualitatively different. At times when your emotional reactions were previously intense, they're now less severe, automatically, and without conscious effort. You have increased mental clarity or bandwidth to improve your A game. Mental space has been freed up through back-end mastery, and that makes you more creative, willing to innovate, or open to learning new things. You have a greater desire to tackle projects or concepts that you had previously been introduced to, but didn't feel like you were able to begin. Another indication of resolution is evolution in your mental game. As the back end of your range progresses, your C game changes, either with previous problems becoming smaller versions of themselves or entirely new ones popping up. Perhaps you got rid of your issues with low confidence, but you swung too far in the other direction, and now at times become overconfident. Or improvements in your perfectionism lowered the fear of loss, and you began to enter more trades, but now you tilt from losing. You must see these new problems as evidence of progress. You graduated to a new C game, and that means you have the potential to reach an even greater A game. Perhaps you've already seen it. Or, despite your best efforts, unfortunately your mental game hasn't improved. You've worked hard using the system, but you haven't been able to sustain a change of any significance. In the next and final chapter, you'll be able to troubleshoot common causes that stall progress or create significant setbacks and learn what to do about them. Chapter 10, Troubleshooting a Lack of Progress. The most important thing to do if you find yourself in a hole is to stop digging. Warren Buffett. At the end of the last chapter, I talked about evaluating your progress. But what if you're not making progress? While there's too much diversity to troubleshoot all of the potential causes of a lack of progress, in this chapter we'll drill into 6 common ones. Difficulty recognizing your pattern. Your reactions come swiftly and arise seemingly out of nowhere. Problems continue to happen, but you can't spot how they start. You see the evidence in the aftermath of mistakes and losses, but you can't recognize the preceding signals that are critical to stopping your emotions from escalating or keeping your discipline from breaking down. In my experience, there are 2 common scenarios why you can't recognize your pattern. In scenario 1, you haven't really done the work. Be honest with yourself. Did you just read through the book, expecting the changes to come through osmosis? Or did you actually put in the time and effort to map your patterns as I suggested? If you didn't do the work, you need to. There's no other way around it. To make it easier, try talking with a mentor or another trader. Maybe in the early stages, you need someone to brainstorm with and bounce ideas off. In scenario 2, you did the work, but you're so skilled at suppressing your emotional issues day to day that you didn't find anything. Then, out of nowhere, you have these big blow-up days, and you can't recognize what prompts them. The key here is to become more attuned to the signals of suppression. What are the actions you take or the thoughts you have that you use to manage your emotions or keep them at bay? These are currently your automatic responses to the presence of greed, fear, or anger. For example, you might immediately talk with another trader about what happened, or you might be hyperlogical in your assertions that a loss didn't affect you. Those responses are the signals of a low-level problem, and you can begin mapping from there. You should also complete a deep dive after your next blowout day to try to get to the root of the issue. Use the different sections of the book to complete a mental hand history, and then take those ideas and bring them to your day-to-day attempts to recognize their presence. For example, let's say you figure out that you have an illusion of control. That's what causes the mixture of greed and overconfidence that's part of the blow-up. Now look day-to-day and ask yourself, how am I over-controlling? For example, you're overly focused on keeping your R factor high, and you've set your stops too tight because you think price will move in your favor. These become additional signs where greed or fear can begin, and you've got a starting point for injecting logic and beginning to correct the illusion of control. Things get worse before they get better. Ideally, you'll take the lessons and tools you've gained from this book, put them into action, and immediately make progress. But sometimes, for several reasons, the opposite can happen and problems worsen. First off, once you start looking more closely, you might find the problems in your mental game are actually worse or more complex than you had originally thought. Essentially, you've ripped off the bandage to get a look at the injury, and it's not pretty. What you thought was your C game wasn't. It's more like you have an F game. But while the truth can hurt, at least you now know what you're dealing with and can plan how to proceed. Being more aware of your emotions can also feel like you're taking steps backwards. Greed, fear, or tilt can feel more intense when you pay closer attention to them. These are not actual steps back. Rather, you're becoming more aware of what had previously been ignored. All of the new information about your mental game can be overwhelming. You've learned a lot of new theories about learning and emotion, found out about numerous problems you might face, and discovered their causes and corrections, all while trying to understand the details of your problems. There's a lot more that you're aware of now, so you're figuratively tripping over all this new information while you work towards developing greater competence. This isn't uncommon, especially if you read the book all in one pass. If this sounds familiar, focus on the low-hanging fruit that will give you some easy wins and a chance to turn what you've learned into a simple strategy you can build on. This way you'll find some solid ground to stand on, rather than trying to do too much all at once. Otherwise, you'll feel like you're treading in quicksand, where everything you do makes you sink deeper. If you have trouble prioritizing, consider this guideline. Try something, and if you're not making progress within 2 weeks, reevaluate and select something else. At times, getting started is the only way to gather the info you need. Some things you can't learn from the sidelines. Finally, another reason you might have gotten off on the wrong foot is the variance in the market. Sometimes the timing as to when you start to implement these new mental game strategies coincides with a shift in the market or a streak of losses that is out of your hands. Don't overreact to circumstances you can't control. Instead, think of the opportunity another way. Getting beaten up early allows you to get to the true bottom of your range that much faster. Then as market conditions or results turn in your favor, you're apt to have fewer surprises down the road. Sure, it would be great to see progress immediately, but if the opposite happens, take advantage of the opportunity it provides. Burnout. Burnout is common among traders. The markets don't care about your need to take time off. And if you're trading markets that are open 24/7, it feels as though you never get a break. In the back of your mind are constant thoughts and awareness about trading. There's also high demand for precision with every decision, which makes you more like an athlete than an employee in a secure 9-to-5 job. Plus, when you're trading your own money, in a drawdown, or struggling to get a feel for the market, the constant stress can burn you out. As it relates to your mental game, burnout intensifies your problems and limits your ability to improve them, even if you have correctly identified the root cause. Your mind is in a weakened state, so you lack the strength, clarity, and poise to execute your strategy and fight for progress. Emotional volatility is higher, and emotions accumulate at a faster rate, which means you have more emotion to handle and less mental strength or willpower to battle it. The correction for burnout is simple: rest. There's no other way around it. The problem is that the kind of rest that you need to recover from burnout is costly. You don't make money when your trading business is closed, and for some of you, it makes sense to push yourself through these times, like an injured athlete in the playoffs who has to stick it out because giving up isn't an option. There comes a point, however, where burnout is too significant. Much like the classifications for physical burns to the skin, there are different levels of severity to burnout. The more severe it is, the worse your decisions become, and the longer it takes you to recover. To prevent a severe burnout, you need to figure out the one or two signs that indicate you're nearing that point. The signs could be emotional, you no longer have any control over tilt or greed, or it could be evident in your discipline. Maybe you can't follow your own rules to make proper entries and exits. You might notice a distinct change in your motivation. For example, mild burnout is signaled by a lack of interest in completing thorough research. On the other hand, not wanting to trade at all indicates severe burnout. The best time to research your signs of burnout and identify the key factors is after each occurrence of burnout. Think of it like mapping any other problem I've described in this book. Take good notes, and the next time around, use what you found to spot the early indicators of burnout. Then you can take steps just prior to reaching that point. For example, if you find that 15 days of break-even trading during an intense market is your limit, then after day 10, take extra steps to help you reset daily. Prioritize your cool-down, diet, exercise, and sleep. Be social, engage in your hobbies, read for enjoyment and not development, or do something fun and not overly mentally stimulating. This will help not only delay the onset of burnout, but possibly prevent it entirely. You stay right at the edge without quite going over it. Bloated brain. Previously, I discussed how focus is your tool to gather the data you need to make decisions. But when you gather too much data, a subtle problem emerges that few traders know about, one that I call bloated brain. Even though it's not commonly identified, I do believe it's commonly experienced, as I've seen through the years of working directly with clients. Think about those trading days where you were intensely focused for so long that you stopped being able to properly analyze the market and missed opportunities or forced poor setups. Or how about the times when you were researching, studying new methods, or backtesting for large chunks of time and reached a point where your brain just shut off? You couldn't focus any longer, and new information no longer made any sense. At those times, your mind is so full of data that you don't have the room to hold any more. You're like a soaked sponge, unable to absorb any more water. You have a hard time concentrating, miss key information, and feel mentally exhausted, like your head is in a fog. You most likely assume that you're just tired, and that it's a natural consequence of the long day or the intensive focus of researching and learning. And to some degree, that's true. But fatigue doesn't tell the full story. The other side of the story is that your brain is full of data. The deluge of information crammed into it creates the drop in clarity, thinking, and execution during the trading day, and can make it hard to segregate trading from your life. You try to have dinner with your family, watch a ball game with a friend, or do whatever you do to relax, but your mind won't stop. You're there, but not totally there. Thoughts continue to pop up. Then when you're tired and ready to go off to bed, your mind is active and won't settle. You replay mistakes and missed opportunities, reconsider the exit strategy on a profitable position, or mull over new research that you were thinking about earlier. This can go on for hours. Other times, you fall asleep right away, but wake up early to thoughts about trades or research. In some ways, you might not consider it a problem. You like the constant focus and innovative thoughts, and you view the loss of sleep or lack of presence with family and friends as a cost of this business. But you also know what it feels like when your mind is sharp, fresh, energized, and focused, and you don't have it as often as in the past. When there's too much data being absorbed, it can carry over day to day. Accumulated data is very much like accumulated emotion, and in a subtle way, it can limit your ability to think clearly and process information the following day. When you're driven to optimize your performance and learning, a cluttered mind is a hidden danger. The good news is that it's fairly easy to address by adding simple habits into your daily routine. The brain has a natural process for digesting information and converting it into valuable knowledge, just as the body's digestive system extracts nutrients from food. You can make that process more efficient. During the trading day, or during long periods of researching or studying, take breaks before your brain shuts off. Taking just a few minutes, where you stop consuming new data, can give your brain an opportunity to digest more of what you've absorbed. In that time, take some notes, go for a walk, or meditate. You may not feel like you're completely reset, but in some ways that doesn't matter. You're looking to just delay the drop-off in your performance until the end of the trading day or duration of research, so you can maximize the effectiveness of your working time. Then, after trading or researching, help your brain digest the data by writing or talking and then taking notes, whichever you prefer. You don't even have to review what you write to experience a benefit. The mental clarity you achieve from getting the data out of your head is valuable on its own. However, I recommend that you review a few of the key takeaways from your writing as part of your warm-up before the next time you trade. This creates a cycle where you regularly focus on improving specific parts of your tactical and mental game, before, during, and after you trade. That kind of repetition is key to accelerating improvement. Writing is also a good tool when you can't sleep. Rather than trying to go to sleep when your mind is full, write about what's in your head. Note down details of a difficult decision, mistakes that you made, or modifications to your strategy. Do it until you have nothing left to write about or up to 30 minutes, and then try to go to sleep. You may not fall asleep without any thoughts the first time you try it, but with practice you'll train your mind and eventually fall asleep faster. Clients who follow this advice tell me that by regularly dumping out the data that accumulates in their mind, they feel mentally refreshed at times when they previously assumed they were tired. They also can better separate trading from their lives and go on with their day without the same need to mentally reset by blowing off steam, drinking, or an intense workout. They sleep better, and they have more mental clarity while trading. Try it yourself for 7 to 10 days and see what you find. The space in your mind is valuable real estate. Keep it clear, and you'll see an improvement in your execution. When life bleeds into trading. Sometimes your mind is consumed by emotional and energy-draining personal concerns that affect your ability to progress. For example, an illness in the family, conflict with your significant other, or major decisions or tasks, such as moving or renovating a home, can be all-consuming. When life bleeds into your day, it can take away from the enjoyment, the challenge, and the curiosity you ordinarily bring to trading. Execution and performance drop, and suddenly the weight of the outside factors seems even greater because you're losing money too. Not only does trading suffer, but you go right from the trading day back to these personal dealings. You don't get a break, and things can quickly spiral out of control. The goal is to protect your progress and execution by keeping all the personal thoughts, tasks, and emotions out of trading. Essentially, you create a bubble around trading that keeps your life out of it. In addition, keeping your personal life separate gives you a much-needed break and allows you to attend to the personal stuff with a clearer mind. Trading becomes like a mini vacation from your personal life. Here are the steps to create a bubble around your trading. Step 1. An hour before the trading day starts, write down everything on your mind on that particular topic. It could be how you feel, specific thoughts, a practical to-do list, or things you want to say to people. Spend up to 20 minutes doing this. Step 2. After completing that initial writing task, draw a mental line in the sand where from that moment until the end of the trading day, you don't allow yourself to think about your personal concerns. Step 3. Now it's around 40 minutes before the trading day. You should use the time as you would normally. The time isn't arbitrary. Writing up to 20 minutes allows you to release the thoughts without being consumed. It also builds in a buffer of time. If you have additional thoughts about that personal stuff that you can't get out of your head, you have a chance to capture them and reaffirm the idea that you're not thinking about this until the end of the trading day. And then, whenever you have momentary thoughts, use the injecting logic of, not now. And if they don't go away, take a few minutes to write them down and reaffirm the bubble. Of course, sometimes you have practical things that must be attended to during the trading day. For example, 11 a.m. is the only time the doctor or contractor can talk. Once these tasks have been concluded, repeat step 3 and get back into the bubble. When trading exposes personal problems. When you have unresolved issues in your personal life, even ones you didn't know were a problem, they can spill out into trading. Having these issues appear in trading can often be confusing because you don't experience anything like them outside of trading. In the rest of your life, you're confident, decisive, and emotionally balanced. It doesn't seem to make sense why these emotions come out in trading. Trading is a unique test that can bring out your deepest fears, unresolved rage, and personal insecurities. These problems directly affect your execution and profitability, compel you to take on too much risk, lock up profit prematurely, or chase losses, but they have nothing to do with trading. Rather, investing so much of your time, energy, money, future, confidence, and identity into trading eventually just brings out these deeper personal issues. Some of you have a need for trades to work out to confirm a sense of personal competence, purpose, and success. When you fail in trading, you feel like a failure in life. Or maybe you get so angry when you get stopped out that you're compelled to immediately re-enter. Perhaps as a kid you hated losing and were relentless until you won. Maybe you can't seem to make a move, even when you want to. Maybe your parents expected perfection and overreacted to any mistake you made. Now fear of a mistake keeps you on the sidelines, and you get pissed off when you miss entries. Either way, you can't win. The good news is that once you get to the root of the problem, you have a chance to cross-train and improve both your personal life and trading at the same time. Digging through personal issues can be tough. If you want to try tackling them on your own, use the mental hand history as your tool to organize your work. Look closely at the cause of your trading problems and identify the personal equivalent. Then use what you find as step one and complete the remaining four steps. If the problems you have are particularly severe, consider working with a therapist. To give you an example of what this can look like, here's a story about my client, Will. After retiring from senior-level roles in corporate America, Will took up trading as a part-time occupation that would hopefully add to his retirement income. In his previous career, Will was known as an even-keeled guy who got things done. But when he began trading, he tapped into a vein of anger he didn't realize existed. Trading stocks and equities, Will's general goal was to trade for an hour or two in the morning, freeing up the rest of the day for other pursuits. The problem was, he would make some money, then take a loss, and end up giving it all back in a death spiral. He would get angrier and angrier until he was in a full-blown rage. He would scream, cuss, break things, and literally fling himself to the floor and pound on it in frustration. He had no control over his reactions and had turned into a person he didn't recognize. Will described days when he'd be yelling, "Kill the trade!" but feeling like his arms were frozen. He couldn't get out. He actually videotaped himself so he could watch what it was like and was astounded. "It was like aliens had taken over my body," he said. "I watched myself acting like a 5-year-old. I was throwing a temper tantrum." Will hadn't experienced this level of anger before, in either his personal life or his former career, which made the problem harder to comprehend. It was, at the time, inexplicable to him. Will began extensive research. He read books and applied their advice. He produced volumes of material trying to understand and address his anger. Will was one of the most meticulous clients I've had in my entire career when it came to the amount of content he produced by journaling, mapping his patterns, and working through his problems. As we dug through that material, we soon realized that he had problems with an illusion of control, perfectionism, and a fear of failure, all of which were rooted in childhood trauma he needed to come to terms with. As Will worked through the personal trauma outside of trading, it was important for him to recognize, while he was trading, that his emotions were related to those old issues. The urge to, for example, add to a loser, oversize trades, or avoid setting protective stops was a signal that his personal problems were seeping into his trading. In those moments, Will began injecting logic that incorporated corrections that he had found on the personal side. That allowed him, for the first time, to stabilize his emotions enough to take losses and avoid a major blow-up. As we continued to work through each step of my system, using many of the strategies outlined in the desperation section of this book to establish clean layers of control, catalog his accomplishments to date, and identify the roots of his technical errors using the mental hand history, over time, Will's anger lessened, and that allowed him to become more aware of when it started so he could quickly correct it. He focused on the probabilistic nature of trading and got himself more comfortable with the overall risk and the role of variance. He learned to remind himself that if price didn't move in the direction he wanted, he wasn't responsible for that result unless he held onto it against his plan. Eventually, Will could make a mistake and think, "Well, that was a boneheaded move," and quickly reset, rather than pounding on the table and losing control. I caught up with Will after not talking for a couple years. He told me that today, about 98% of that initial anger is gone. He no longer breaks keyboards in half, throws the computer mouse across the room, or has tantrums. Although he admits he still cusses a bit. As we caught up, Will wondered why the childhood trauma had come out in trading and not before. I explained his situation to him with an analogy related to war. It was as if Will had experienced war crimes during deployment and couldn't process them until he was safe at home. In his case, the crimes were trauma from his childhood, and being retired with a firm financial future felt like being home safe. Trading just happened to be what he was doing when the layers of trauma started to emerge. And due to the intense nature of trading, those wounds were ripped open and laid bare. Having healed the majority of his personal trauma and the trading mistakes that were caused by it, the problems Will deals with now are the normal ones covered in this book. He's graduated. The key for him going forward is to remember that the system worked and to use it again on the more typical performance problems so he can continue to improve. As you've no doubt realized by now, continuing to improve is a core theme of the mental game. Final thoughts. In any given moment, we have two options: to step forward into growth or step back into safety. Abraham Maslow. You began reading this book knowing something, or many somethings, were getting between you and trading at a level you knew was possible. No doubt you'd already explored your technical skills and eventually realized the stumbling blocks in your way had to do with your mental game, and that's why you turned to the system I offer in this book. After diving deep into the system and learning about your performance flaws at the root of your problems, you're armed with the strategy and tools to correct them. The system works if you do the work. To make progress, take what you have read in these pages and start applying it every day. Use the descriptions and accounts from other traders to help you uncover your own patterns and the unique ways your performance flaws emerge. Map your patterns and develop an A to C game analysis. Complete mental hand histories. Create injecting logic statements using your own words, and a strategic reminder that applies best to your style of trading. Also incorporate other resources, both from within trading and outside of it, that resonate with you, such as books, videos, quotes, or interviews. There are many valuable sources of information out there that you can use within the system to help you achieve resolution. Be ruthless in identifying and correcting the many mistakes you make as you go, but find moments to have fun with the process. Like the market, there will be ups and downs. Some days you'll reach new highs, and other days you'll struggle. Embrace that reality and just keep doing the work. Permanently correcting or resolving your performance flaws, biases, illusions, or wishes doesn't come quickly. You need a lot of repetition. Most often, you also need a lot of repetition in a lot of different situations. Keep at it. Continue to use this book as a resource along the way. There's too much to absorb and apply in just one pass. When your mental game progresses beyond the problems that originally brought you here, apply the system to your new problems. Remember, the system isn't meant for you to use once and set aside. Growth is a constant for those who want it. If you continue to apply the techniques, tactics, and insights, you'll continue to make progress and reap more benefits. You'll be able to keep moving your inchworm forward and improve your A, B, and C games. The time to start is now, literally right now. Even if that means taking just 1 minute to begin moving forward. No more excuses. Get to work. It's time to turn your potential as a trader into a reality. If you'd like to stay up on my latest blogs, podcasts, or projects, or to access downloadable worksheets that can, for example, help you map your problems, complete an A to C game analysis, or fill out a mental hand history, go to jaredtendler.com. Acknowledgements. I'm not a natural writer, so I relied heavily on others for help. I'm deeply appreciative to the many people who helped make this book happen. I could not have completed it on my own. First and foremost, my writing partner, Beth Kupchinski. Thank you for your incredible expertise and unwavering dedication to this project. Even though the finish line took longer to reach than expected, you were an incredible partner from beginning to end. Your questions, insights, and perspectives helped me to see my material in a new light, and I'm forever grateful. Marcy McDonald, my amazing editor, thank you for your vision and guidance. You delivered on your promise and brought the book to another level. To all the clients I've worked with over the years, thank you for helping me to better understand the nuances of trading and the demands of your profession. I particularly want to thank the traders who lent their stories and examples to this book: Alex Raguz, Brendan, Brian Heffernan, Carlos Espinoza, Chris Duhansey, David Lombard, Franz Geller, Giacomo, Goro Kanehara, Gurdeep Gosal, Joseph Abood, Max Sidney, Michael Whalen, Nick Winton, Roderick, Vishal Nathu, Vlad Bricken, and Will Rainey. Your voices helped bring the book to life, and for that I'm greatly appreciative. I also want to thank my family and friends for your support and encouragement, especially my wife Corey and daughter Teddy. 2020 was a challenging year, but you two made it possible for me to complete this book and enjoy the process. No small feat. Thank you for giving me the space to focus on it. I'm so lucky to have you two in my corner cheering me on. This has been The Mental Game of Trading, a system for solving problems with greed, fear, anger, confidence, and discipline. Written by Jared Tendler. Narrated by Jared Tendler. Copyright 2021. Jared Tendler, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.